please join me in an opening prayer. Lord, you are the Word, you are God in three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May our words and thoughts this morning help to open our hearts and minds to your will, your eternal love for us, and help us to be guided to perform acts of justice and acts of mercy for those in need. Amen. Now think about it. How many times have you heard the phone ring and hear these words? It's for you! Lots of times, right? Alright. Now, whether the initial signal was a classic old bell or a buzz on your intercom at the office or Für Elise by Beethoven or some techno jazz riff on your new iPhone, it's a signal. Someone's waiting on the line and wants your attention. They're calling you for a purpose. I remember that when our home phone rang when I was a teenager and we only had one phone in the house, remember those days? My little inner child would anticipate, gee, I wonder if it's going to be for me. Just for that split second or two. If I heard the words, it's for you, I wondered, gee, I wonder what it is. Is it something good? Is it something exciting? What could it be? Receiving a call can mean many things, of course. And in the kinds of calls that I just mentioned, we get so many of them. Different purposes, different objectives. Calls from family, personal calls, business calls, sales calls, cold calls, on and on. And all these kinds of calls are received by ear. They're received orally. But they're even more different kinds of calls that we experience. Now, way back in the spring of 57 AD, that is, the Apostle Paul made an important call to the church in Rome. He had a number of things on his mind, and he wanted the Romans to have some time to think about them before he arrived. He was heading to talk to the church in Rome. And unlike some of us today, he didn't have a 4G cellular or any other fancy gadget. He put his thoughts in a letter, an epistle, in black and white, or probably it was more like black and light brown and on parchment or something like that. But in this New Testament letter, he was expressing hope for three different things. First, that the church in Rome would welcome him and support his movement about Europe and especially his planned trip to Spain. He wanted to go to Spain to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Spaniards as well. And he needed the support of the Church of Rome. Secondly, in this particular part of his epistle, he gave them his views on the gospel of salvation, in the strong hope that the way he saw salvation through Jesus Christ was the way Roman Christians saw it as well. And thirdly, he wanted to affirm that the church in Rome would be accepting more converts to Christianity from Judaism, despite some resistance. The local church members in Rome thought that the Jewish adherence to their traditional laws, dietary laws, those kinds of things, were not Christian. And those issues were very, very important to whether or not the church was going to grow and going to add more members, both in Rome and throughout the civilized world, way back in 57. In my last talk with you from this place, I talked about Paul another time. I love Paul. He inspires me. We talked then about, in chapter 3 of Romans, how Paul says to everyone, through faith, in Jesus Christ, we are justified by the Lord. Justified. And justified there meant two things. That God forgives us of our sins. And then having done that, he sees us as righteous in his eyes. Very important. Very uplifting. Now in chapter 8, part of which Scott read during the epistle today, Paul is saying to his believers in Rome that they should indeed obey the laws of the land, whether they were original Roman law or Jewish law, but that that obedience to those laws by itself does not earn the justifying grace of our Lord. It does not earn his sanctifying salvation. So he speaks about this here because many early followers of Christ and the potential converts in Rome and other cities were still wrestling with the notion that despite their traditional obedience to all the laws they were taught, that they are still sinners in the eyes of God. And it didn't make them feel very good about it. So they're anguished in this reading from chapter 8. But they had been taught, follow the laws, you'll be fine, you'll be a good person. So now Paul is encouraging them, especially those who see and feel God's kingdom coming, that help is at hand. No problem, you're not alone in this. He's talking about the help of the Spirit. In verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The power of the Holy Spirit is here, now, says Paul, and it's for you. The Holy Spirit is by our side to help us. This should be a comfort. This should be an encouragement to us. It's a significant manifestation of God's love. We have the assistance of the Spirit in our faith journeys, and in our prayers. It's pretty good stuff. Paul knows it, and he goes on to make it even clearer. In verses 26 and 28, still in chapter 8, he says, the moment we get tired of waiting for the kingdom of God to come, God's Spirit is right alongside us, helping us along. And if we don't know how to pray, the Spirit will do it for us. It'll help us with our supplications. That's why that we can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God will turn into something good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, and he loves them back. Those who have been called for the purpose. In the lives of love for God, the power of the Spirit is here, now, and it's for you. In the spring of 1967 this time, the power of the Spirit came to me. I knew that after that Good Friday service was over up in East Windsor, Connecticut, that I needed to stay in that church and listen to the Lord. I did. And the Lord said, there's a path of service available to you in my church. It's there for you. And now's a good time, Parker, to think about maybe taking that path. I was a college junior. I had just received a draft notice. I knew I would be a member of the military services within the year. So the Spirit was right. It was a good time to think about something about serving God's church. So I did. I thought about it for 2 hours by myself in that church. And I ended up not choosing a path of Christian service at that time, back in 1967. 1 year ago, the Spirit again was loud in my ears, and it was very affirmative when we, one Sunday morning in this room. In my mind's eye, there appeared an open green space, lots of comfortable room that I could step into. I don't know what it was just lots of ample space. And why was that vision important to me then? Why was it appealing to me then? Well, I had for several years been retired from my day job of 35 years. And I had been looking for more meaningful pursuits to fill my time and to feel that I was giving something of myself. I had some things in place. I had a wonderful position as music director of this church. I had a position in a radio station one day a week playing classical music and helping them run that particular organization. But that wasn't enough. I kept looking and not finding anything that appealed and said to me, this is right, this is for you. But I then knew that that open space that I saw in my mind's eye back a year ago was that same opportunity of Christian service and ministry before me. And it was like I heard a voice that day saying, you can do this, and it's for you. And I felt that I was standing in the back of this room looking at this altar and that cross and saying, there's a path, and now it's time to follow it. I began then to feel in my heart that it truly was time for me, and I felt the Spirit with me. It was clear the rightness of that moment continues to this day. Affirmed, it's a journey, it's an uphill battle, but it feels right, and it felt that that indeed was for me. And I imagine that that same kind of feeling that I experienced, that feeling of freedom, that feeling of not being tied down, a feeling of being able to move forward into that open space, the Apostle Paul felt the same kind of thing in that portion of chapter 8 that we study today, where he says, nothing fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. I love Paul. I love his writings. And I would tell you that today, that embrace that Paul just talked about right there, the love of God in Christ, the helping power of the Spirit is here for us now. It's for you. Whenever you open your heart in truth and humility to the Lord, it's for you to give you an indication of a way to serve others. It's for you when you pray for aid for yourself and family, for healing, or to pray for others. It truly is there for you. Be open. Be ready to feel that. Be ready to heal, and be ready to heed that call, because it truly is for you. Let us pray. The words from that wonderful hymn, the Spirit sends us forth to serve. We go in Jesus' name to bring glad tidings to the poor, God's favor to proclaim. So let us go to serve in peace, the gospel to proclaim. God's Spirit has empowered us. We go in Jesus' name. Amen.